Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
Welcome back in, everybody, to Birds 365. Joined now by Mike Gill at Mike Gill Show. Joining the show now. Mike, welcome to the show, man. Great to have you on this Wednesday. How you doing?
I'm doing quite well. The Eagles won. We should all be happy, right?
Yeah, everybody's happy, Mike. You know how that goes. How's it been on the radio and the people on the text line? Because I get a lot of bored down crap. I'm like, did they win the game? Did they? I don't. The hyper focus on, and to me, and I'm trying to elevate this conversation. To me, it's a theme. Like, literally, the entire NFL followed the Eagles' lead when it came to aggressiveness. Like, they changed the game in 2017, which predated, obviously, Nick Sirianni with the aggressiveness and the going for it on fourth down. You saw what it did for Detroit last year. And Dan Campbell went through the same thing.
I think you look at Atlanta on Sunday night. They won the game the week before because the Eagles made some aggressive decisions and they didn't work out. Atlanta didn't say, well, they did it, so we shouldn't. They gave up 6 points in that game. They lost by five. They went for it on fourth down. I see what you're saying too, John, is I watch the games all the time now, and I see, you know, there's that high school coach somewhere in Mississippi, I think. He never goes for it.
Yeah,
He never punts. They did a whole real sports on him that he never punts. And the league is like turning into this, we're just going to be overly aggressive. And the concept of you're going to have to stop us four plays is really starting. And listen, it's a mentality that if you ask former players, a lot of former players, especially offensive players, they like the fact, Dallas Goedert said it yesterday. I had Colin Thompson on my show. They want the coaches to show trust in them. They want that. They say it's fourth and one, believe in us. We'll get it. As opposed to coddle us and we won't get it, you know, stuff like that. So I don't know. It's a weird dynamic. To answer your first part of the question, what is the reaction? It's mixed. We had a poll question. It was about 50-50. Are you happy with the Eagles win? 54% yes, 49% no. And the no's, I think, are, if you were able to break down the poll and look at the ages, I would imagine they're on that.
Yeah, I should be on the punt the football because of my age in theory. And I'm like, why am I got to be the four? It's shocking. It is shocking.
It is. But I think, like, you know, listen, there was a time where, you know, I was an irrational fan that would just knee jerk reaction to everything I saw in the moment. And then when you do a job like this and you talk to people that played the game or work in the game and you get more information, I might not like the, I say this all the time to you, John, you don't not like Sirianni's decision. You don't like the way the game is played today.
Exactly. I say it all the time. You're judging results. I said,
no, it's the result of the way that the game has changed. And your reaction is, I don't like the change. And then you're blaming Sirianni for the change. It's not Sirianni who's really changed. It's the game that has changed, and Sirianni's just a part of it. It's an organizational philosophy of we are going to use analytics, and we're going to go for it, and we're going to be aggressive. You know, a lot of people would say, well, the one thing I don't like about it is analytics don't tell you what the score is, how much time's left. Like, does it say, hey, go for it on fourth down and three from the 39 when the score is 7-6? Or does it say, don't go for it if it's 13-3? Or go for it if it's 31?
But that's, but I would say that's the ironic thing, Mike, because he doesn't always go for it. And then it becomes, well, why did he go on fourth and three here when he didn't go fourth and three there? Because he is taking into account what he calls his own studies and whatever. And he's taking into account the game. Could be a situation like New Orleans lost their starting center. Numbers aren't going to tell you that. They might have been more prepared to do some stuff with Eric McCoy than without Eric McCoy. So you have to have a gut feeling as a head coach. And I think that gets in the hot water because everybody's like, well, you go for it on fourth and three. Doesn't mean you're always going to go for it on fourth and three. But right. The overriding back, yeah.
The flip side to that, to me, and I said this Sunday, was the only team that was more poorly coached than the Eagles was New Orleans, because the flip side of not being aggressive was the result of the Saints being so conservative. They didn't trust their players at all, and I think it cost them the game. Like, the fact that they were so conservative in that game, you're at home, you have this offense that's scoring at will all season long, and for whatever reason on Sunday you decided that our offense is some Punch and Judy 220 hitter. Like, what was going on there? I don't understand how conservative they got in the game. So I think on the other side, their players are saying, come on, give us a little trust here. And they're punting the ball. They hadn't punted the ball once all season.
They did that the first 15 drives. I think he had like three punts coming in.
Third car led drive.
Yeah.
Card was the quarterback of the offense. So the first team offense had not punted one time all season. And they had a punt fest going on in there. There was a couple times where they could have made a decision and that might have changed the game. But their coaching decided to go very conservative and it backfired on them.
There was a game, it was opening weekend. It was the Raiders against the Chargers. And the Raiders had the ball in plus territory with down six with 5.5 minutes left. And they didn't convert on third down. And Antonio Pierce punted the football. And, you know, defensive guy, defensive minded. He's got timeouts. He's got 5.5 minutes. That's old school football. Punt it, play field position. And I was shocked. I was legitimately shocked. And sure enough, Mike, the Raiders didn't get the ball back. And they lost the game. The Chargers went, I think the Chargers went down and scored. They lost the game 22-23-10, something like that. They had a chance with 4+ minutes left to take the lead and be aggressive. That's what everybody does in this league, to the point where when you don't do it, it stands out. Boy, I say this all the time. The next time somebody comes up to me and says, hey, you know what? The Eagles went for it on fourth down. They got it. But if they keep doing that long term, it's going to hurt them. I'll listen if they want to say a failed fourth down is not the way to go because they didn't like the result of the play. I've not heard that once. I don't expect to hear that in my entire life, Mike.
Yeah, that's the thing is, how about the play they ran? Was it on fourth down, Philadelphia? It was a little pop-out pass to Goddard. It was a little slide. He slid out to the flat, and they popped it out to him, and you're thinking, where was that last? If you just do that last week, all of this conversation about what Nick is doing is probably muted somewhat. I'll tell you, though, the part of it that I think he didn't necessarily do himself any favors with was this time standing up on the hill and saying, it was me. I called the play.
No, that was a mistake. That's a mistake
because now you've ignited this of whodunit. And the last thing this team and Nick Sirianni needs all season long
is a
constant whodunit every time. Because, listen, if you were watching the broadcast, you heard Olsen say, it seemed like every time the Eagles had the ball, he kept saying, Well, here we go again. There's another decision for Sirianni. It's another fourth down choice or another thing that they're going to have to decide on. The last thing they need after every game is you guys. And yeah, you should, by the way, and you should. Poor Jeff McClain, I think, is going to get daggers probably through him at some point. But somebody asking him the questions of who's calling that play and whose decision was it, they did not need to start that.
That was the classic unforced error. That was a I don't even say it was a mistake. That was a colossal mistake to open up that Pandora's box. That is just that was.
Now, did Kellen Moore yesterday say that's normal because it is?
Yes,
because he has had in San Diego or L.A., he had a defensive-minded coach in Brandon Staley. Is Brandon Staley jumping in and calling plays?
Well, what Kellen was trying to explain, I think a lot of people believe that any play caller, not just Kellen Moore or Nick Sirianni back when he did it, or Brian Johnson or Shane Steichen, anybody, that they're just doing it fly by the seat of the pants in the moment. Like, oh, this is the, you know, 98% of it is done during the week. And you got your big play card and you got all your situations laid out, you know, first and 10, first 15, third and short, third and long, fourth down, got to have it, fourth down. All these things are on that little play sheet. You know, plays for A.J. Brown, plays for DeMonte Smith, your go-to players when they are in the mix. All of it is mapped out. And essentially, you're going to a situation in the game, and you might have three or four options at your disposal, and you're picking from those particular options. The idea that it's this wild gesticulation where you're just coming up with stuff and
so it's not John Madden football. You don't have to pick the play like in that moment.
Well, you got to pick the play, but the play's already laid out for you. So you do 97% of it during the week. And what I think Nick is saying is like fourth and short, you know, one of the plays on there. And by the way, I don't agree with the fourth and one at the end of the half because of the timing. I didn't think it made sense because of the timing.
Yeah. I think I told you, Xander, I think they really thought that they were going to catch New Orleans.
Yeah, surprise.
Jumped up in the box.
Yeah.
And sweep it to the outside in 15 yards. It was like at the 15-yard line. I think they thought they were going to score a touchdown by catching them off guard. Because realistically, if they get the first down,
then I got to burn the timeout.
Call timeout, and then what? Are you going to go for it with no timeouts left at like the 13, 11, 12, 10-yard line? Are you going to throw a pass? Are you going to – I mean, you could then take a sack. You could throw an interception. You could throw one, you know, short of the end zone. So it just doesn't feel like, hey, let's get a yard on a tush push and get a first down here. And then just kick the field goal. I feel like he thought they were going to score on that particular play call by catching them off guard.
Yeah. And that particular play call, which they did run last year once, I think, at least once successfully, was obviously in the game plan. And that was put in the game plan during the week. And I'm with you. I think they were trying to surprise him. And look, if that's third one, that's a good play call. Try to surprise them. Fourth and one, if you don't get the first down, you're taking 3 points off the board. So that's why the timing aspect of it is why I didn't like that particular play call. But, I mean, the override, the theme of fourth downs, though, drives me crazy because it has been so – this team literally has one Super Bowl championship, and they would not have it if they were not aggressive. You know, if Nick Foles doesn't go fourth and one to Zach Ertz, you know how that game was going. The Patriots go right down the field, score, game's over. They couldn't stop the Patriots at all. And I still remember talking to Frank Reich after the game about that particular play. And that's when he called Frank doesn't curse. That's when he called Doug Peterson a flipping star because he won't say Eppin. I mean, that was the, in a lot of ways, obviously Philly special. People talk about the strip sack. All these are big plays. That might have been the biggest play because they were, if they punt, if they Antonio Pierce it there, they're in deep, deep trouble. But they seized the moment. They went for it. It has been so successful for them to the point where everybody in the league has copied it, except Antonio Pierce. And I joke because the Raiders do it too. Everybody does it to a certain degree, but Lions number one have actually surpassed the Eagles. And by the way, they had success that they haven't seen in many, many years because of how aggressive they were until it bit them in the ass and Dan Campbell had to deal with that.
Well, and because
it is so short-sighted to me,
the result of the result of the aggressiveness isn't 100% success. That's the issue. I mean, exactly. So if you're going to be aggressive, you're going to be aggressive, but there's going to be failure in there. And some of that failure is going to hinder or impede your success. On Sunday, the failure impeded the Eagles, but it didn't collapse their success. Ultimately, they won the game. Now, in the end, you might look at it through the lens and say, you can't keep making those decisions. It's going to cost you. I think what the Eagles might say, more so than the decisions costing them, is the turnovers. They can't keep losing the turnover battle and win these games. Those decisions will eventually start working out in our favor, and they're going to help us win the games.
Yeah, to me, it's, and I always say, and Mike knows, increase your margin of error. It increases, being aggressive increases your margin of error over the long term. It's proven. That's why everybody does it. That's why everybody has shifted. You mentioned four plays, 10 yards.
You guys feel as though the pendulum is maybe starting to shift from a more broad perspective, like across the NFL, just because now everybody, it seems like most people are being aggressive across the league. Is the pendulum shifting, you know, where points might become more of a premium again? I mean, you talk, look at the scores across the NFL, a lot of low scoring games.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's, you got a couple factors here. One, you know, offenses have been the spread offenses for the couple years now. And you wonder how much of these defensive teams are starting to say, okay, we're going to start not letting you do that. You know, the offense is now, you're starting to see Baltimore running the ball, Philadelphia running the ball a little bit more. Teams are starting to shift a little bit more back to, all right, you're going to try to take these passing options away from us. You're only going to rush three and four guys and you're dropping all these guys. Fine. We're going to start putting, you know, how big are linebackers? Jeremiah Trotter's gone, man. 250-pound linebackers thumping in the middle of the field. They're gone. You got 220-pound guys playing linebacker. So teams are going to start saying, fine, you're going to fill the middle of the field with guys who are smaller. We're going to start running at you. So teams, I think, on defense over the last couple of years, they've started to make the adjustment to dropping more in coverage, showing less blitz, you know, making the quarterback have to get the ball out quickly, everything underneath, come up and tackle. Vic Fangio kind of style of defense, and the offenses now are saying, okay, you're going to do that. We'll put the ball on the ground more, which obviously keeps the clock running, not as many explosive plays. So I think that's all kind of happening right before our very eyes right now. And part of it is fine. We're going to take more shots of being aggressive on fourth down with you having so many smaller bodies out on the field. We're going to try to, you know, on a fourth down and one, we feel, and we say this all the time, I feel this way. If you're a championship level team, if you really think you're a Super Bowl team, you better be able to get fourth down and one when you have to get it. Like, if you can't convert, especially with this offensive line, I got to understand Nick Sirianni saying, we got the best or second or third best offensive line in football. We need a freaking yard. Let's go. Like, so I can understand him having that gall, you know, to have that assertion to want to make that call. But I think that's what's going on a lot, Xander. Plus, you got some awful quarterback play.
Yeah, it starts with the quarterback play. Yeah, but you're right. Everything Mike said is right, contributes to it, but it's the awful quarterback play. The points down, is about the awful quarterback play.
Yeah, well, we got $50+ million quarterbacks that stink on ice. It's not even just the rookies and the bottom of the barrel guys.
Let's go to the perfect example of this is Carolina. They were the worst team in the league by far for 2 weeks. They put in, listen, a low-level NFL starter. At this point, Andy Dalton is a low back end of the rankings. If you're doing a quarterback rankings list, he's 30th, right?
But he knows how to play.
NFL football. He's competent NFL player. Is he a franchise NFL player? No, but he's competent. He's had success in this league. He knows the speed of the game. He's seen stuff. And all he had to do was put him in the game. And that team that looked by far the worst team won a football game against a team that had just gone on the road and won in Baltimore. That team they beat went on the road and won in Baltimore. And all they did was put Andy Dalton in the game and they won a football game. Now, every once in a while, there are exceptions. Everybody thinks Jaden Daniels an exception after one game. They didn't look very good in the first two games, but he played exceptionally well. And by the way, I've said here and on my show, I think Washington has a chance to be scary if that kid is the quarterback that kind of rises from this group. And right now he had an awesome game, and I'm kind of
him. You know what happens there, and you saw it last week with C.J. Stroud, because C.J. Stroud's that guy, right?
Yep.
And then Brian Flores showed up, and he didn't know what the hell was going on.
Yeah.
So
now Bo Nix kind of came out of the ashes this week and actually played a decent game down there in Tampa.
Yeah.
But the consistency, could Bo Nix be a consistent player week to week to week? I don't think he's ready for that. So the quarterback play has really contributed a lot to this. And if you have a quarterback that you have trust in, you're going to have a little bit longer of a leash and make some more aggressive decisions.
Yeah. But to Xander's point, all that, but the quarterback play starts with the poor offense. But to Xander's original point is, are things going to shift with the fourth down aggressive? That horse is out of the barn, man. They figured that out. That ain't changed.
When you watch the games on Monday night, Buck and Aikman have a graphic that goes up on the screen of what the analytics are telling you to do. And how many times are you like,
it's everywhere?
They have a graphic. It comes up.
There's 20 websites you could punch in the numbers. That's what. And people thought Jeffrey Lurie would get upset by that because he was downplaying. A bunch of people told me that he's downplaying the analytics department. No, he's just pointing out that anybody can punch in the numbers. It's not about punching in the numbers.
Didn't Rich Kotite have a chart, but it was smeared one day? The rain had smeared the chart.
That was back in the old days when it was old school football. And
that was whether to go for two or not.
When it was our buddy Seth Joyner style football. Look, if you want to play that way, you're hamstringing yourself. And that's the thing. To me, it's not guaranteeing success. Nothing can guarantee. If you could guarantee success, it'd be really easy to do. Nobody can do that. You're increasing your margin for error. That's all you're doing. You're trying to get a slight advantage. And the fact that everybody has followed the Eagles' lead should be a sense of pride for this fan base. For some reason, it isn't.
I asked this question last week. I wanted to try to get in the heads, and I don't know if I really want to do this because it might scare me a little bit, but bring me in the heads of the person.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Who always defaults to blame the coach over the players. Like, I will never understand why people want to blame coaches more than the guy making $13 million. It's one of the most bizarre things to me. Like, the whole Barkley play. Everybody's blaming Sirianni. How could you go on that ball? How could you not kick it? How could you throw the pass? How come you don't run it? The guy was wide open, and he dropped it. Yet we want to default to blaming the play, not the result of the play. I will never.
I'm with you.
Understand. Like Don McMullen there, Michael.
I mean, it's astonishing.
I can't understand it. It's everything. You know, it's this town is an unbelievable study, and if somebody could do the study and somehow find it for me, it was Brett Brown's fault. It was Doc Rivers' fault. It was Gabe Kapler's fault. It's Joe Girardi's fault. It can't always be their fault. Somewhere in there, the players have to produce. I've never seen it. So every coach on planet Earth sucks in every sport, apparently. Unbelievable.
And not only that, Saquon, because of the type of guy he is, was the first guy who said, that's on me. First guy.
Yeah.
Took complete accountability right after the game. Didn't hide, didn't do anything. Yeah, that was so obviously on the player. And yet, now there's a lot of people, I'm not saying everyone, there's a lot of people who understand it's on the player, but there's an astonishing amount of people that want to blame somebody else.
Yeah.
It is bizarre to me. It is crazy. But it really is, you know, you want to protect certain players. It's easy to blame the coach. That's the nature of the industry, right? That's why Brian Johnson scapegoated. That's why Alex Tanny scapegoated. That's why back in the day, Mike Groh was scapegoated. If you don't reach expectations, you can't fire the players, so you fire the coaches. And that's part of it. Not everybody understands that, but that doesn't mean in the moment when something is so obvious that.
Well, and listen, it's crazy. You know, people ask all these, you know, like Joe Girardi won a World Series, by the way. So people say, this guy has won a World Series, and yet we think he sucks. Gabe Kapler won 107 games. He was the manager of the year with a team that was not all that good. And yet our default is this guy sucks. He can't coach. You know, Nick Sirianni took a team to the Super Bowl, and now our default is, well, he had no role in that. It is that's unbelievable to me how we can put these things together of you can't have success because of this particular guy. I mean, it is what it is with the coaching thing. I think, and I maintain.
Well, and then, you mentioned Dallas.
Fans are smart. We always say fans are smart, right? They're smart enough to know they cannot play the game, but they are dumb enough to think they could coach it better than the guy who's doing it.
Well, you talk about people who do not like playing in Philadelphia. Some players don't. And you get the Kelce stuff is like, well, if you do well, you know, everybody's going to love you. It's easy to do when you're Jason Kelce and you're a legend. But you got this week after a win, Mike. Granted, an ugly win, but a win against a team that was coming into the game portrayed as this juggernaut on the road in a tough place to play, the Superdome. And you mentioned Dallas Goedert. Dallas Goedert's out there, whatever he was on. One of them was on the Dan Patrick show. One of them was on the McAfee show.
Yeah.
Brandon Graham was doing the same thing. And they're getting questions about Nick Sirianni after a win.
Yeah.
After a win. And by the way, they're all defending him, of course. You know.
Well, I don't anticipate the player going on there and questioning the call. But I did hear Goddard on the McAfee show because we played the audio on our show yesterday, John. Not for you. We played different audio for you.
You got me Chris Candy. That was good.
I got you, Chris.
Because Chris Canty was he's like Nick Sirianni's got to go, basically.
Well, he hates like, he does not like the coach. I did it. I asked Colin Thompson this yesterday about the play calls and fourth down and all that stuff. I said, if you're in that huddle and you hear that play, and it doesn't work, and it doesn't work over and over, okay, does that start to have splits in the locker room? Do people, he says, for a weak-minded player, maybe. Like, if you're a strong-minded guy that just moves on and puts it in the past, you want that play call to be go for it every single time. You're, as an offense, don't want to hear we're kicking a field goal because in your mind, you kind of failed. Yeah. You kind of failed. So you got to understand the mentality of these guys playing at the highest level. They don't want to be coddled by the coach. They don't want the coach to kind of take the foot off the gas. They want to keep going. And it's hard for us to think like that. But part of the coach's job in our mind, and it's true, it's not to diminish them, is to save you from yourself sometimes and say, listen, we got good enough. Let's just take the three. And I think they need to find a balance of when taking that three is the prudent decision for that moment and in that game.
That's where I think that's where I am. Like, I think there's got to be some nuance, and you can apply this to any philosophy in life, whether it's being aggressive in a football game or anything in your own personal life. There has to be some nuance.
Yeah, there is no absolute. Right? There's no absolute.
I mean, but 21 and 15 that's points my, in the last my, two games. Like, my if point, you're talking about a 35-31 shootout, yeah, obviously you need touchdowns to win that football game. We had 12 points on or 15 points on the board last game. That's where I think people are calling for nuance more than they're criticizing philosophy.
No, they're not. That's my point.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
No, John. Well, you said people, but maybe you are. But people in general, because the week before, it's like, well, you go for fourth and four here. You don't go for fourth and four there. It's not absolutes. There is nuance. Now, is the nuance correct in the moment? I don't think it was at the end of the half. Anybody who agrees with every decision is wrong, whether it's in politics, their personal life. Everybody who thinks they're right 100% of the time or their side is right 100% of the time, you know, put them off to the side. They're morons. There is no absolutes. But if they went for it every time, I would agree with it. They don't.
Right. The world that we're living in right now, somehow, if you open up the X, formerly Twitter platform, and get defaulted to the for you, holy world, there's a life going on out there. There's a world that I don't want to be a part of.
Mike,
but
I can't do the for you. The for you,
I need to somehow put a lock on. Can they pay me to have the for you defaulted?
Well, because politics is the best example. I don't want to say it.
You go on there, one side is, this side lies every single time they talk. The other side, this side lies.
Exactly.
You're
a moron. You're literally, if you're in your little political echo chamber, you're a moron. If you think your side has never made a mistake, just think about everyday life. Has there ever been a human being that existed that doesn't make mistakes? You're a moron. I'm not even going to address those types of people because they're not serious people. Same thing, much less important, but same thing in football.
But I think what's got lost in all of this is they won on the road in a very tough place to play, and they did not have A.J. Brown to start that game. So you already went into that game. Almost everybody watching, chatting, that will listen to this after we're done being live, you all went in and said, I don't know how we're winning this game. No A.J. Brown and the way their offense is going. Then Lane Johnson goes out. What is the Eagles' record when Lane Johnson doesn't play? Not good. Becton's already out. Covey goes out. Then you're losing that game, and you have to find a way to score a touchdown with Devontae Smith now off the field. So Brown,
at
Smith,
third and 16.
Covey, Lane Johnson, they're all off the field. And they find a way to win that game. They lose that game in that little seven-game stretch last year. So if we're asking ourselves, have they kind of got past that seven-game stretch, if it seemed like it entered for one day against with a drop pass wide open against the Falcons. Maybe that game on Sunday says, okay, maybe this team does have some fight. Maybe they do like playing for this coaching staff. Maybe they like what's going on here. Yeah, they made some decisions that we don't like. But in the end, they won on a very difficult place to play under some really tough circumstances. That should have been the bigger story. Unfortunately, it wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting discussion. It's one that mystifies me, really does, because it's been so successful for this organization. And again, it should be a sense of pride. It should be a sense of pride for the fan base.
And I think fans get so wrapped up in the aesthetics of the victory, like 15-12, not good enough. Should have been 35-10. Like, if you won 3-0 on the road in New Orleans under those circumstances, you're throwing a party that you got out of there somehow with a win, because that game is now in the box. You put it up on the shelf, and you're past it. It's over with. If we don't know that by now, everybody watches this and says, it's a week-to-week league. Do you even know what that means then? Why do you get so angry seeing what happens in 1 week? And I'm not telling you to be reactional as a fan. You can have reactions and be upset and say, but you know one team wins 35-7 1 week, and then they lose the next week. And you're like, how the hell did that happen? It happens every week. What do you mean, how the hell did that happen?
Yeah, yeah. Well, look at Tampa Bay last week. I mean, that
Denver was the worst team outside of Carolina we've seen all season. Yeah. They're horrible. And they
I guarantee that killed a lot of those.
Oh, those things are done.
A lot of those knockout pools. Yeah, Tampa Bay not beating Denver at home. And by the way, they got waxed. It's not like they lost a close game.
Yeah, they were Tampa wasn't competitive. At home last week, they scored 7 points.
Yeah, against Todd Bowles, against a rookie quarterback who looked like garbage. Yeah, it's a tough lead to get a beat on.
And that was after, by the way, Tampa beat Detroit.
Yeah.
So in fact,
by the way, Eagles fans, we're going to talk about this later in the week, but I don't like this spot for the Eagles because they played so poorly last week.
We talked about that, John. Been thinking about that all week since you said that on the postgame show.
Yeah, I don't like the spot.
I also don't like the spot because you might not have A.J. Brown and Devontae.
Well, that more yeah, right. so. More
that,
so.
That might be more important.
More so. Yeah. So what? That we'll talk about, get to that, A.J. Devontae. Now, in theory, both could play. In theory, both couldn't play. So we'll get a better indication as we get
down about, to practice. What about today.
Lane? Lane is in the protocol. So, I mean, history says he's probably not going to play. You know, he has a, as I mentioned, it's become more difficult to get through the protocol in 1 week. So that's not a good sign for either Devontae or Lane, but it seems more if you're trying to gauge these things, and all concussions are different, so it's impossible to gauge. But if you're just using the numbers of other players, Lane has more of a history with concussions, and it's more difficult to pass the protocol when you have a history. So if I were a betting man, and you can get those odds on BetUS, I would say probably not Lane Johnson. I would say Devontae has a better chance, but that's pure speculation. Concussion protocol is, you know, you're dealing with independent neurologists.
Yeah.
It's not up to the team. It's not up to anybody else. And by the way,
puking after a concussion doesn't seem like he, you know, that.
No. And by the way, the science, the honest doctors will tell you the science remains in its infancy. You know, there's a lot of unknowns.
He's got his arm around Dom. I mean, he looked like he, had a rough night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully
he's all right, 'cause that's nasty to take a hit to the head and be feeling like that. Mike, real quick, man, we went through almost a full interview here, but I do want to get your impression. Massive turnaround for that defense, Mike Gill. How encouraged or still a lot of concerns remaining on that defense? It looked like a different team out there in week three than week two. How encouraged are you by their performance in week three from perspective of being a defense that can, you know, get this team, help this team get to a Super Bowl?
Well, I mean, I don't want to say that all of a sudden they've turned the corner and they're going to turn into this great defense because they still didn't get a lot of edge rush. This was one, and the defense was predicated on the fact that Jalen Carter just dominated the day. Yeah. And you could see what happens when you have a player of that magnitude doing what you think he could do. Now, how much of that is Eric McCoy goes out early in the game and he's just wrecking the middle of that and getting pushed from the middle. So you didn't have to get as much edge rush because he was getting so much push in the pocket, which is making Carr get the ball. I mean, he's just chucking everything underneath because he didn't have any.
Like every time Carr had Carter in his face.
Exactly. Yeah. So he had the pocket in his face the whole game. You know, so it's hard to say, yeah, they're starting to kind of click and get it. And maybe they are getting more comfortable. They sure are. Third week, you're feeling better, but they still have to find a way to get out. You can't just ride Jalen Carter pushing the pocket back week in and week out. You're hoping that it's a factor week in and week out, but not as big of a factor as it was this past week. He absolutely wrecked the whole game. Obviously the Bryce Huff stuff, if he has no factor in this season, that's going to be a problem. How much gas in the tank can you keep riding Brandon Graham for? Josh Sweat right now at this stage seemingly has taken a step back from where he was 2 years ago when he was a double-digit sack guy. I don't feel like he's anywhere close to that player right now. So where are you generating pass rush? That will be the key to consistency on defense. But for 1 week, yeah, they look pretty good. Why? Because they did what they had to do. They got pressure without having to blitz.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're right. When Jalen Carter plays like that, if I'm basing the Eagles defense, Jalen Carter's not seeing, I'm sliding everything to Jalen Carter. He's getting constant double teams and somebody else has got to beat me. And ironically, I mean, Brandon Graham's playing great. I get why everybody says, 36, can he keep it up? I get all that. But until he doesn't keep it up, I got to assume he's going to continue to play great. And I think Josh Sweat has been fine. I think, you know, the numbers aren't there, but they'll come. The issue becomes with Jordan Davis, Nolan Smith, Bryce Huff, the younger players, they got to step up at some point. Is that going to happen? It's not looking good right now.
Yeah, don't feel great about it.
Yeah. At Mike Gill Show, make sure you follow Mike on X, x.com platform, and don't click on the For You, as he mentioned. It's just going to ruin your day.
Yeah.
97.3 ESPN, the Sports Bash, 2 to 6 every day, drive time. So you can hear more Mike Gill. Where should we end it, Mike? What about the quarterback turnovers? That's got to stop too. And I don't blame the interception, as Kellen
Moore
explained.
The fumble was the one where you're like, that's clear. Now, obviously, we're watching it, and you can see the guy tailing him from the backside and getting ready to swipe.
Yeah, but he's got to be aware.
He's got the ball hanging out here. You did see him later in the game kind of two-handed a little bit more. But, you know, you can't. Seven straight weeks with an interception. The fumble's one thing. You get seven picks. They're coming in the red zone. People are complaining about they left all these points on the board. Well, there was six right there that wasn't converted that, you got to find a way to start converting those things. And, look, if we believe that they can get cleaned up, then that's another reason why these play decisions won't be as big of a factor. And hopefully as they keep kind of going for it, it'll start evening out. And some of that aggression will start to benefit you as opposed to us bitching about it the next day, 4 days later.
Yeah. Fair point.
Will say my get out of here will be, there's a hurricane happening this week in Tampa.
Yeah, that's true.
And
too.
My Tampa people tell me there are contingency plans on potentially moving the game, all that kind of stuff. So,
we're
going to get Tom Brady on the call this week.
Tom Brady on the call. Yeah, maybe they usually move him to Detroit. Are the Lions home? Ford Field seems to be the place to go. I don't know if the Lions are playing at home, but we'll have to check that out. I don't know what the contingencies are. Hopefully the weather breaks right. Tampa's a fun place to go for people. I'm sure Eagles fans
Detroit
are traveling. Detroit
plays Monday night.
Yeah, yeah, and so, they are at home. That's in Detroit.
And they're at home Monday night. Yeah.
But they'll go back-to-back. Ford Field seems needy. They're your needy friends. They'll say, yeah, we'll host the game.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to come to fruition. But, you know, Eagles fans travel well. So, obviously, yeah, they want to go to Tampa generally. And you have Clearwater, the whole Phillies connection. So, always a big trip for Eagles fans. Hopefully, the weather works out.
No doubt. We'll see. Get these injury reports, see what it looks like, because two receivers being down, that's the one spot. When we were in training camp and you're trying to find things to talk about, John, who's going to replace those two guys? If one of them gets hurt, now both of them are hurt.
Yep. Jahan Dotson, you're up. Wide receiver one, Jahan Dotson. How about that?
We'll see what he can do. Mike, thanks for joining the show today, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Mike.
See you guys.
There's Mike. Follow Mike on Twitter, at Mike Gill Show. Great stuff. From Mike Gill, nice nuanced discussion of the coaching there with Mike Gill. So good stuff from Mike Gill. Make sure you follow him and listen to his show on 97.3 ESPN. He does a great job on 97.3 ESPN. We're going to take our commercial break. I got to talk to Johnny Mack after the break about our man, Zach Bond. Maybe the biggest surprise on defense of the season so far early in the year. We're going to talk about Zach Bond next. Coming up on Birds 365, I want to thank everybody in the chat today. Been a great crowd, as always. Make sure you guys hit that like button, as it's one of the best things you can do to help support our channel and also this show here, Birds 365. So thank you. And then a big shout out to all of our podcast listeners as well that don't follow on YouTube, but that listen on the podcast. We get over 1,000 daily now on the podcast. So thank you all for listening to the podcast. Appreciate each and every one of you. Don't forget to leave a review on there. Let's get to our commercial break. Before I do that, I want to tell you guys about BetUS, our newest sponsor here on Birds 365. Please go to betus.com.pa and use the promo code YouTube150. That means 150% sign-up bonus on your first deposit, and then 125% sign-up bonus on your second and third deposits, all up to $2,000. So deposit less and bet with more for your Saquon Barkley prop bets. We gave away the jersey yesterday. The jersey has been claimed, everybody. So make sure you get on BetUS and take those prop bets. I think it's going to be another big week for Saquon Barkley coming into it this week. Obviously, if AJ's out, if Devontae's out, Saquon's going to have another big day, presumably here. So get on BetUS. Go to betus.com.pa. That's betus.com.pa and use the promo code YouTube150. That's Birds 365. We'll be right back, everybody, in 3 minutes. Stay tuned.
If you missed any of today's show on the Jacob Media channel, listen to the podcast on your way home. Available on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.